Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 225 at 17,416. The S&P 500 Index up 19 at 2,021. NASDAQ Composite up 45 at 4,683. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points to 1.75%. Oil up 9 cents at $44.54 per barrel. Gold down $25.20 at $1,259.10 per ounce. Silver down $1.04 at $17.02. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve said it would remain patient on raising rates, but indicated it saw the U.S. economy getting stronger. The Fed also said it has seen inflation decline, and it may decline further, but that low oil prices are probably temporary. The FOMC statement said that economic activity has expanded at a solid pace and that labor market conditions have improved. That was certainly the case last week. The fewest Americans in almost 15 years filed applications for unemployment benefits. This was during a holiday-shortened week that typically makes the data more volatile. Jobless claims dropped by 43,000 to 265,000 for the week ended January 24th, lowest claims since April of 2000. No state reported an increase of more than 1,000 in claims for the week ended January 17th. The National Association of Realtors reports its index of pending home sales fell 3.7% in December, though the year-on-year gain was 11.7%, the highest since June 2013. Pending sales measures contracts signed but not yet closed. The Census Bureau reports the number of owner-occupied households fell by 354,000 from a year earlier, as the home ownership rate dropped to the lowest level since 1994. The ownership rate for people under age 35 fell to 35.3%. That's down 1.5 percentage points from a year earlier, lowest level in census data going back to 1982. The number of renter-occupied residences grew by 2 million last year. Vacancy rates for rentals fell to 7% in the fourth quarter, the lowest since 1993. Total households increased 1.66 million. This means that younger people are finally entering the housing market, even if it is as renters rather than owners. That's good news for landlords, better news for parents. Denmark's central bank cut interest rates to negative 0.5%. Denmark's rates were already negative, now more so. Denmark operates a currency peg with the euro, which has come under increasing pressure as the single currency has weakened with the recently announced quantitative easing plan. The German economy has slipped into deflation for the first time in more than 5 years and may not see inflation again before the year is out. Prices dropped 0.3% in the year to January. Eurostat due to publish inflation figures for the euro area as a whole tomorrow. Economists expect these will show prices have fallen faster still, down 0.5% in the year to January. The Bloomberg Commodity Index, which tracks the global prices of 22 different commodities, such as gold and oil, dropped to the lowest level since August 2002. The strength of the U.S. dollar has hit commodity prices hard. Because most commodities traded in international markets are quoted in U.S. dollars, and when the dollar rises, they become more expensive. This then hits demand. The U.S. dollar index, which tracks the price of the U.S. dollar against the world's currencies, has increased by more than 18% within the past 6 months. Oil is near a 6-year low as stockpiles have surged. The Energy Information Administration reported record high inventories in the U.S. Domestic crude inventories rose by almost 9 million barrels last week to reach nearly 407 million, the highest level since the government began keeping records in 1982. At the same time that oil prices have been declining, We've also observed big drops in the price of other commodities like copper and the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries and the value of other currencies relative to the dollar. Certainly, part of the reason for the decline in oil is because global demand has dropped, even as supplies remain high, but that isn't a full explanation for the other commodities dropping. Equity markets have been volatile in January. The S&P 500 dropped 1.4% yesterday, bringing its slide this month to 2.8%. That's the most since January of 2014. And the Chicago Board of Options Exchange Volatility Index jumped 32% over the past 2 days, the biggest gain in almost 7 weeks. Earnings season is in high gear, as 52 of the S&P 500 companies posted results today. Of those that have reported so far, 76% have topped estimates, 57% have topped sales projections. Google, not among those topping expectations. Google posted fourth quarter numbers after the close of trade. They missed on the top line and the bottom line. Revenue minus traffic acquisition cost, $14.4 billion, versus $14.6 billion estimates, adjusted EPS $6.88 versus $7.08 expected by the analyst. Google's share of the online ad market coming under pressure as more users spend time on smartphones and tablets. The average price of ads fell 3% in the quarter. That follows a decline of 2% in the previous period. Also, after the close, Amazon reported fourth quarter profits. That's right, a profit, not a loss. A profit of $214 million or 45 cents per share, beating estimates of 18 cents. Revenue came in at $29.3 billion, missing estimates of $29.6 billion. Amazon forecast first quarter sales of $20.9 billion to $22.9 billion. That was short of analyst estimates of $23 billion. Alibaba Group's quarterly revenue fell short of analyst expectations, showing signs of a slowdown in the Chinese e-commerce company's growth over the holiday shopping season. Revenue rose 40% to $4.2 billion for the December quarter, missing the average analyst estimate of $4.4 billion, but margins increased to 58% from 50% in the prior quarter. ConocoPhillips, the largest independent oil and gas company, reported a quarterly loss and again cut its 2015 capital expenditures, citing lower crude prices. ConocoPhillips said its fourth quarter loss was $39 million, or 3 cents per share, excluding one-time items. Conoco had a profit of 60 cents. In December, Conoco announced plans to cut spending 20%, including eliminating a $6.5 billion plant in Qatar. Now they say they expect to spend $11.5 billion, down from the earlier projection of $13.5 billion. Royal Dutch Shell posted fourth quarter profit of $4.2 billion, compared with $2.2 billion for the same quarter a year ago, although they said they'd lower CapEx in 2015 and curtail overall spending by a total of $15 billion over the next 3 years. More than 30,000 job cuts have been announced across the oil industry as companies shrink budgets. Exploration and production spending expected to fall by more than $116 billion, or right at 17%. Qualcomm reduced its outlook for fiscal 2015, saying it expects its newest Snapdragon mobile chip to not be used in a major customer's flagship smartphone. Company also blamed increased competition in China for the reduced guidance. Still showing surprising growth for the latest quarter, Qualcomm reported that first quarter net income rose 5% from a year ago to $2 billion. Nokia reporting stronger than expected quarterly profits this morning, lifted by strong sales of the latest generation wireless telecom equipment in North America. Net profit for the quarter, €443 million. However, the company stuck to a forecast for weakening profitability. Confirming the firm's first annual earnings decline in 3 years, Samsung said that October through December profit fell 28% from a year earlier. Strong chip earnings failed to make up for weakness in their mobile division. Samsung issued a statement saying, "Uncertainties for global business conditions will likely grow further in 2015 due to the slowing Eurozone economy and financial risk in emerging countries." Deutsche Bank has a boatload of legal problems and even more investigations, but they posted a surprise fourth-quarter net profit today after cutting the reserves set aside to cover upcoming legal action and on higher investment banking revenue. Net profit of 438 million euro beat expectations of a 289 million euro loss forecast by analysts. One of those legal investigations involves rigging the $5.3 trillion a day foreign exchange markets. Deutsche Bank and 11 other major banks are under investigation. A judge in Manhattan today says investors can proceed with their antitrust lawsuit, accusing the big banks of a long-running manipulation of closing spot prices, also known as the fix. According to the 2013 lawsuit, these banks have held an 84% global market share in currency trading and were counterparties in 98% of U.S. spot volume. The lawsuit is separate from criminal and civil probes worldwide into whether banks rigged currency rates to boost profit at the expense of customers and investors. If you go to a restaurant today, chances are the food came from either Sysco or U.S. Foods. The approval for an $8.2 billion Sysco-U.S. Foods merger is being delayed again after the FTC sent a subpoena to a third-party food distributor this week asking for more information. Antitrust concerns are focused on whether the Sysco deal will drive up cost, as the two are the only ones with geographic reach to offer nationwide contracts for a variety of goods. The FCC voted today to classify broadband internet as connections that provide download speeds of at least 25 megabits per second and upload speeds of 3 megabits per second. That's a good move. Those speeds are a lot faster than many people probably get from their internet service provider. By definition, internet service providers won't be able to say they provide broadband unless they can give you at least those speeds. We invite you to follow along. You can do it on the internet at whatever speed you wish. Go to moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. You can even get an app for your smartphone and take us with you wherever you take your phone. If you'd like to read along and listen along, the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com. Stick around. The review continues.